My name is Olivia. I'm a co-host of the university's Take Note podcast, which is recorded on Kaurna land. I was born and raised on Kaurna country. In 2019, I was fortunate to visit the APY lands and live within the Pipalit Jara community for 5 days. This visit was eye-opening and truly allowed me to understand the depth of culture prevalent in the lands. I'd like to acknowledge the elders past, present and future as the true owners of the land and express my gratitude for everything they've helped me learn and will continue to learn.
Before we begin, this episode features LGBTQIA+ students sharing their lived experiences. Please listen with empathy and an open mind. Some content may be personal or sensitive.
He's not homophobic. He's not transphobic.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. He just wants you to pay your taxes.
You'll want to make a note.
Should you be taking notes or something?
You got a pencil? Write this down, quick.
Why aren't you taking notes?
Write this down.
Aren't you going to write this down?
Did you need me to take notes?
Please take note.
Hello and welcome back to Take Note. I'm Megan and today I'm here with my co-host Olivia.
Hey guys!
Welcome back. It is nearing swap back, so it must be a very stressful time for everyone.
We're sending our prayers. Happy week 12.
Oh my gosh.
This episode, when it comes out, you'll be through all the classes.
Yep.
It's just time to grind away.
And this is your reminder, please start that assignment.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, June is Pride Month and we thought we'd do something a little bit special with three different guests. We're so excited for you to listen.
We have three of the best guests on the podcast. All of the guests that we have on every episode are amazing, but the chat that we just had with Gabby, M, and E was literally incredible. So I can't wait for you all to listen to it in just a matter of minutes.
Mm-hmm. We thought we'd do a little bit of a notice for everyone and a little bit about our week. I just found out that there are a few volunteering positions available for students via Uni Adelaide website. The application is for the upcoming open day. So if you're interested, go check it out. The application are due on the 22nd of July. These type of news are usually announced in Student News and UA.OnCampus, which is an account that Olivia's running.
So, yes.
if you want to receive more opportunities like this, check out both channels on Instagram and on the Uni website or in your student inbox. Anyway, straight to it. What have you been up to, Olivia?
Well, just my day today has been literally crazy. If you didn't know, Come and Try Fitness program with AU Sport, it's fab. I was making a little video to go on UAA.OnCampus and the Wellbeing account to, you know, promote the program. And I thought I was going to go across there, do a little 10-minute fake the workout, you know, like one clip of me running, one clip of me doing this, whatever. No, I did a full 45-minute workout.
Oh my gosh.
And then I rocked back up at the office and I was like literally dying. I was like, no way, I'm about to go record the podcast right now. Like I can't even breathe.
Yeah. And on the way here, we took like the stairs down as well. So that was a trip for Olivia.
Literally the best workout though. I just hadn't quite realized that that's what I was getting myself into, but it was so easy to follow. I had the best coach ever. His name is Kwame.
Oh,
he's a gym content creator. So he was like helping me film the video, like fixed all my form.
Yeah.
He had a banging playlist. I seriously had so much fun. So
that's so good.
Yeah.
Come and Try is a program ran by the AU Sports Club as well as the Wellbeing team. That whole point of that program is so that anyone of all types of body, all types of level can join that fitness class. So if you ever wanted to join a fitness class, but you're intimidated or you're scared to like go to a room full of gym bros.
This is your time to do it.
Yeah.
If you like are too nervous to join that gym or whatever, literally join this gym. It's so welcoming. I love it.
Yep. And then another highlight as well of that week is we celebrated your birthday a week late though.
Yeah.
But I went to Tiger Tea and we had the best lunch ever.
I think this is literally the third episode that we've bought at my birthday, but it's that important, guys.
It's so important. We have to. I was sick the day we were meant to celebrate it. So I was like pushing it a week after and I was like, it does not end. Your birthday does not end until we celebrate it.
Yes.
If you guys don't know, Tiger Tea is a restaurant in Union House and they've got the best food and 5 out of 5 service.
Such good value. And it was like going to a full restaurant, 5-star service, like water's being poured for you, you name it.
So this episode we thought would be a good opportunity to talk about Pride Month as well as like everything that's going on. If you don't know, there are tons of events running on campus all year round and you can check them out in the Wellbeing account, U of A Student Wellbeing. It's on our link tree. I'm plugging the Instagram here. Anyway, our former host Shannon filmed a similar episode with Kansas who shared their amazing journey and stories as a queer student. If you haven't heard it yet, I strongly encourage you to give it a listen. Anyway, we asked Kansas what they've been up to lately, so let's hear what they have to say.
Hi, everyone. Last year, I finished up my tenure as Pride Club president, and I've now passed the mantle on to the wonderful Birdie, who is now running our club. I'm now a trainer for the Ally Network here at the Uni, so I'm still really passionate about keeping our campuses safe and inclusive for all of our students and staff. This year, all the queer leaders in Adelaide have been preparing to commemorate the 50th anniversary of homosexuality being decriminalised in South Australia. This is obviously a huge milestone, but it's also giving us a chance to really reflect on current legal issues in the community and how we can all combat them. Happy Pride, everyone.
We thought we might do something a little bit different this year and talk a bit more about personal stories and personal experiences. Yeah.
And how to be an ally on a more super simple level. That's everything that we're trying to do with the podcast this year. We just want it to be everything super easy so that you can be the best person you can be at uni without having to worry about too much other stresses and you can focus on your studies.
Yeah, this is the whole point of this episode is that we're all learning. It shouldn't be as complicated as people make it to be.
Yeah, exactly. I already feel like just from having that conversation with them that I've learned so much, but I need to retain it all. I'm I can't forget.
But they're awesome. And this is going to be an amazing episode. So tune in and we'll head straight into it.
Yeah. So we're here with our three special guests for the day. Did you guys want to go ahead and introduce yourselves?
Sure. My name is Em. I use they, he, she pronouns. I am studying a Bachelor of International Relations with a Bachelor of Arts. I do a lot of advocacy work in regards to queer people and disability, as well as just generally human rights and feminist work as well. I used to do a lot of volunteering, not so much anymore, just because university has taken a toll.
On us all, I think.
Yeah, 100%. So mostly I just study and play with my dogs and my bird.
Oh. I feel like that's exactly how I felt at uni. I was like, they were like, what are your hobbies? I was like, what do you mean? I study.
What are those?
Yeah. My name is E. I use he, they pronouns. I'm studying a Bachelor of Arts in Classics and History. And
fun.
Hoping to do teaching afterwards.
Oh.
Yeah, same. I don't really have time for hobbies at the moment.
Well, what do you do in your free time?
I like music. So I'm getting back into singing. I'm kind of having to reteach myself.
Ooh. Oh my gosh, okay.
What genre do you sing in?
Just mix.
Okay.
Just everything.
Bit of whatever.
Jack of all trades. Was that a rap?
No. Well, I'd be so impressed if you just broke out in some rap right now.
Yeah. Freestyle. I like drawing, baking.
Ooh, cool.
He's a really good baker.
Do you have any signature dishes?
I really like making brownies and biscuits.
Yum.
Yum.
Those are the best.
I used to be a chocolate chip cookie addict. And I would change the recipe slightly every weekend to get it exactly how I wanted, and now I haven't made it in 5 years. So
my philosophy when it comes to baking is more chocolate is better.
Yeah.
So measure with
no
your heart.
Way. Okay.
Cool.
Hi guys, I'm Gabby. I use he, they pronouns. I'm currently studying a Bachelor of Media with a major in story production. So we'll see how that goes. Hobbies.
Drawing.
I like drawing. I generally just like making things, fixing things. I like making videos, so in my spare time, just putting a bunch of, I'm recording a lot of the time, so, yeah.
Cool. And so, you guys are all part of the Women's Collective, right?
Yeah.
That is so cool. If you guys don't know, they do have an Instagram account. What's the username again? It's just...
I want to say it's U of A Woco.
It is.
Yes! I try to stay up to date on as many accounts as I can, and then people ask me, they're like, do you follow mine? I'm like, I don't know. I hope so.
No, but I'm so obsessed. I feel like you could see the really drastic change between the previous this in the social media girly before that, but after it's so different, and it's the whole introducing the team is so cute. But
they, it's all this one.
Yeah. Thank they you. Did
Gabby.
Such a great job.
Yeah, no, we all worked together to get that up and running as soon as possible, and we've got some new members coming out, so hopefully some more of those
updates
will be coming out. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, and the new women's room as well, insane. It looks so cozy. Is it called women's room?
Yeah, so it's the women's lounge. So we've been working so hard to actually get that up and running.
Yeah.
We've got our snack cart and everything, and we spent so much money. So much money on
it. Do you have club money that you can spend, or was
we,
it?
Yeah, it was always we got a grant at the beginning of the year, which was given to the four clubs in that specialty lounge area.
Very quickly.
Yeah, it went so quickly. Yeah, we very much just like started off with like no cushions or blankets or anything. Mm-hmm. We have Yeah, it was horrible. So now we have lots of them.
Oh my God, I would live there.
Yeah, we do.
Much do.
Yeah. About it every.
Yeah.
Are all of the clubs that have the lounges over there like all friendly? Like, do you all?
Oh yeah, it's very much like a community space. Like,
yeah.
Sort of like at the end of every night, I normally go in to say like goodbye to the people that are in each of the rooms.
Oh, cute.
And they normally do the same for us. And yeah, it's just always like yesterday, one of them came. One of them from Pride came in and was like, "We need an extra player for our board game. Someone join."
Play a game?
It was a great game.
Oh, did you play?
Yeah.
I feel like you're getting like really the most out of your uni experience. Like you all have your own little study spot, and you're like friends with all the different like lounges and clubs. Like I just went to the hub and sat with my two friends, and then like that was that.
Yeah. Before I learned about the like the women's room, like the old women's room, I used to sit up in the mezzanine. And yeah, I used to just study there. But I very much turned the Hughes women's room into like my nap corner. It was great. Used to go up there, just have naps. Like the lights didn't really work. It was kind of dingy.
No one wanted to go there anyway.
No,
so
there was like no one there.
Asbestos weevils. Yes.
We had a weevil infestation.
I feel dumb even asking this, but what is a weevil?
It's like a little bug.
Yeah.
Oh. In my head, I'm picturing like a beaver, like a like a fluffy like.
Nah, they're like the tiny, but like
a tiny insect, and they're usually in wheat. And someone was making like the heat packs, the wheat packs.
We found them in places we didn't think we'd ever find them.
Oh.
Because they were like
coffee pot, kettle in the fridge, like
yeah.
So the whole room like, just has to be cleaned out.
They made it their home.
Like throw everything out and start again.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what we did.
Oh my God.
And then you just got a new room. Here you go. You were like perfect coming out of here.
Yeah. Like no weevils allowed.
Oh my gosh, it is Pride Month. June is Pride Month, and there are tons of events happening all year round, even though Pride should be celebrated all year round.
I remember talking to Kansas and how there's two Pride Months in Adelaide.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is there?
Because there's like June, which is Pride Month, and then there's Pride Vember.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you wait another 6 months and you're like, here we go again.
Period. Yes. Do you guys have any plans to celebrate Pride Month?
With it being like exam season and everything, we personally, I don't have much time.
We should reschedule it.
But
yeah.
Oh my God. So that means that both of the Pride months are over exam season.
Oh my gosh, it is.
Mm. November is a little bit more chill though, because like there's the Feast Festival, there's obviously the like the Pride Parade. So it's a little bit more fun, whereas in June there's less big events happening.
Yeah. It's also winter, so like
no one wants to do anything.
Let me just get warm and like
it's more so a lot of just like doing advocacy work like on my end anyway. Like I know that like the three of us have just sort of been posting a lot of stuff on our social medias being like
pay attention.
During this Pride month, remember that it's not just about like, oh, love is love and like support your queer friends, but also like acknowledging that there are a lot of people who are queer who don't get to live safely or who don't get to feel supported,
especially at the moment in America and the UK, for instance. Oh. Like in Australia, we're in comparison so much luckier. We wouldn't want to be in either of those places at the moment, personally.
Aww. That's so sad.
It is a bit, but
a little bit.
But I feel like that's the whole reason that we have Pride Month. So it's like people that wouldn't necessarily have been thinking about those things, it's like take the time to learn about it and use June and Pride Month as a chance to read up and just like acknowledge that that's happening. Is that kind of
that's what I've been using it as anyway, just to sort of educate people in my life. And I tend to look at like your Scandinavian countries because they have really fantastic healthcare and a lot of information support for queer people and trans people, and there's just a lot going on there that they do that would be fantastic to see all around the world, but you don't see it often, but they have been absolutely fantastic. A lot of people hate it, like a lot of people look at those countries and just absolutely despise what's happening, like even in comparison to us in Australia, they are absolutely brilliant. And that's not even just with queer rights, it's also with like feminist rights and parents' rights and all that sort of stuff. It's fantastic.
For those that don't know, Em's talked in the You Belong campaign, and that was really good. I think you talked a bit like briefly about your journey as well. Would you like to share a bit about that on our podcast today?
Yeah, Yeah, sure. I guess just to sort of start off, like, my journey was, like, not at all linear in any way, and it's sort of... it's always progressing and it's always changing for me, and it has for years. I spent a lot of my life believing that I was straight and cis, and these people laugh at me a lot for that, because they look at me now and they're like, sure.
It's also some of the things you, like, you've said about, like, thoughts that you've had in the past, and we're like, how did you not even question?
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's a very common experience, right?
Yeah. It is.
It's only, like, in retrospect, or, like, you're looking back where you're thinking.
Hindsight. Yeah. It's definitely 2020.
Absolutely.
What are the signs? Is that rude to ask?
No. It's, for me personally, like, looking back at photos of myself when I was, say, 8, 12, 15 even, like, like some of...
I can see you cringing already.
Some of, like, my outfit choices, or, like, some of the characters that I was just absolutely obsessed with. It was definitely, it's definitely evident looking back. Yeah. But, like, it's so funny looking back at yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, it's so obvious.
I know for me personally, like, when I was, like, a really little kid, like, I'm talking, like, 5 or 6, I remember. And my mom doesn't remember this, so I don't know if I did it in a dream or if she just doesn't remember it. We'll never know. I remember, like, asking my mom, like, oh, am I a boy? And her going, no, you're a girl. And I was like, well, what makes me different to a boy? Why is that different? And yeah, her going, well, your body is different from a boy. That's why you're not a boy. And me going, but I want to be a boy.
Wow. Okay. So, mom.
Yeah. And just, like, getting really annoyed about it. Like, not even, like, just disappointed, just, like, really frustrated. Like, it doesn't make sense. And
like going from, like, no concept of what gender is, and then, like, when you get to, like, high school or, like, late primary school, people are really going, like, oh, yeah, girls do this, boys do this, and you're like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
If an 8-year-old's like, oh, I don't really feel this certain way, and so many adults just freak out and they're like, oh, but you're just a child. And you wanted to be a dinosaur last week. It's like, oh, play pretend. But I think a big thing about choice when it comes to being queer is definitely the most used argument, if that makes sense. Like you chose to be this way, so then you need to deal with the consequences, which...
it's just not really the case.
It's not the case, but it is unfortunately a conversation I've had where it's like, okay, well, you chose to pursue transitioning, for instance, so then it's up to you to tell people if they ask questions. And it's like, yeah, but Google's free also, and like a lot of that responsibility on trans and gender diverse people, it's expected that we just teach people, and people can't look up whatever question themselves, which is fine because there isn't a lot of information on it.
I agree. Like, it's very common, that's the mindset that people go for when asking questions. They think asking questions is okay, which it is, right? I mean, there's like a spectrum from like general questions that are like okay for most people, but then there are more invasive questions which go into very personal aspects that are just not okay to ask
anyone
for like a bunch. So I guess it's okay if you're curious. It's just, it's not good to assume things, and it's not good to assume that you can just ask.
Oh, for sure. That just reminded me, like, I was in the same conversation with, like, an older auntie, and then, like, someone that was queer. And then we were just chatting, and then she seems really curious. Like, she came from the right place that she wanted to learn about my friend. But it became so invasive, and it's like, so I can't ask you how old you are because you're, like, a different generation, but then you can ask about my sexuality?
Yeah.
It's very strange, like, the way that people are like, oh, well, I can't ask that. But, you know, asking about, like, this really invasive, very inappropriate topic is completely fine.
Like, you can't ask me that, but it's different because you're in a different situation. It's like, no, it's the same.
Very much so.
Yeah.
My mom and my dad are very, like, they like to ask questions, but I've always said, no matter what the case, I'm always happy to answer questions because I know that they're just trying to understand. But I also know that they're not about to ask me a really invasive question because it's going to make everyone uncomfortable. And they're not going to want to see me for the next 10 minutes to an hour.
Go for a walk.
Yeah. It's like, we need some time apart, actually. I'm always happy to answer questions, and I've always said that. And same with, I'm not opposed to, like, hiding, like, my gender or my sexuality or anything. But I know that, like, my mum has told people and then was like,
Was that okay?
and then has texted me like during the day, or has like picked me up after uni and been like, I told this person at work, was that okay? And I'm like, I don't care at this point.
That's so cute.
If you're willing to answer questions because I can't be bothered, then go for it.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, that's fine. So yeah, they've been really good, to be honest. I'm very lucky.
My folks are... I'm from Tasmania, so it's like a different situation from South Australia as well. In Tassie, it's very much don't ask, don't tell. So it's still like that mindset of like the 80s and 90s of like, okay, oh, we can't say that because we need to be politically correct. So we just won't address it ever.
Oh, okay. Mm.
So that was fun growing up. but like my dad very much raised in rural Tasmania in the 80s and 90s, so he's very quiet when it comes to me being quite loud. And then like my mum, it's very important to her, like family's everything, so she's like, they're both really supportive, but my mum is more comfortable being more vocal about her support, so she'll ask lots of questions, like double check and like, oh, is this okay, like how do we feel about this. But yeah, it sometimes they can both be very backward in coming forwards, which I think is a common theme in parents of queer people.
Yeah.
I remember specifically. So, this is really funny because I actually have a bag with a statement relating to it now. But before I came out as gender fluid to my parents in 2021?
Something like that.
I was sort of aware that I wasn't cisgender and I was
floating between.
Yeah, I was something else. And I was having a conversation with my dad about like gender diverse people and specifically gender fluid people. And my dad turns around and he goes, you know what, I just don't like gender fluid people. And I was like, oh, why is that?
Doesn't like what, sorry?
Doesn't like gender fluid.
Oh, he just
people.
Doesn't like them.
And
oh.
I was like,
it gets better.
It's okay.
It's really funny.
It gets better. It's really funny. It's okay. He's very much an ally. He's very good.
He's fine.
He's fantastic. He's lovely. So I was like, why is that? And he goes, because what if they don't pay taxes?
That was the only reason.
That was his main reason.
What do you mean, so don't pay taxes?
He was like, yeah, so what if one day they go by John and then the next day they go by Jane? But they said that they paid their taxes as John, so they didn't pay their taxes as Jane, so they didn't pay their taxes at all. And I'm like, Dad, that's not how it works, actually.
And he's like, oh, I'm fine with it as long as they pay their taxes.
Yeah, and so I turned around and I was like, that's not how it works. They normally have one legal name,
yeah,
their taxes under and all that. And he goes, oh, well, that's okay then. So oh, now I now have a tote bag that says tax fraud, ask me how.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Oh, did you get that like custom made?
No,
that's from Dangerfield, actually.
Yeah. Oh,
love Dangerfield.
Oh my god. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Is that I actually can't question? Believe it.
Yeah.
Also, think, so why is taxes the biggest issue if you, like, went by two... Surely there's bigger issues than tax if you're, like...
Like, identity
but
fraud.
But that was what my dad was so concerned funny. About, because my dad is very, like...
only hang up.
Yeah.
Think about how period, much stuff yes. you could get away with if you were like, I want to be John, I want to be Jane, and tax is all he's thinking about.
That's yeah.
He's very much a stickler for, like, the rules and, like, the law and stuff
Sons
like that.
You're a law-abiding
citizen.
Yeah, he is a law-abiding citizen. As long as you abide by the law, it is all good. And so it was so funny. It was great. Because I'm like, the fact that he's not homophobic. He's not transphobic.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. He just wants you to pay your taxes.
Does he laugh about it now? Like in retrospect?
Yeah, well, he forgot about it until I like came home with the tax fraud bag and he goes, I don't get it. And I was like, well, Dad, let me tell you this funny story about a conversation that you had with me. He's like, but I wasn't being homophobic or transphobic, was I? And I was like, no, Dad, it's fine.
He was so genuine.
Yeah. He was so stressed that he, yeah. Yeah, he likes to laugh about it now. My parents like to make jokes about it now, like, about different things with my identity, which is really fun because I'm like, oh, it just means that they're being inclusive because we all like to mock each other in my family.
Oh, sort of yeah. Like,
same with mine.
Yeah, it's sort of our way of bonding. If I'm getting bullied for my gender identity, it's a good thing.
Okay, love that.
Within your family.
Within my family.
Yeah.
Not outside. Please don't bully me.
Yeah, my mum likes to make like little just throwaway jokes about my being queer, and it's so funny every time because it's never expecting it. Like there was once like she was cutting vegetables and like the knife was bent, and she's like, "Oh my god, this is this is about as straight as you are. And I just looked up from doing like paperwork. I'm like, what did she just say? Yeah. And she's like, it's bent, just like you. And I'm like, Mum.
Oh my gosh. And she's
like, oh, can I not say that? I'm like, no, it was funny.
I really like,
yeah.
It's like, you can, but why?
I feel like she'll always do that from now on. Yeah. Anything that's just like,
oh, she
not
does,
straight.
And it's so funny every time, but I'm never expecting it. My mum's mum, it's like my nan, she tries. And, we went out for lunch one day and I was getting a headache, so I left the cafe we were in and my mum was trying to explain that like I was non-binary to my nan, and she was like, oh, that's fine. And mum's like, okay, that means like, cause at the time I was using they, them pronouns. Mm-hmm. And she's like they're not a girl, they are non-binary. And my nan's like, oh, I don't care if she's bi. I don't care if she's gay. And I'm like, okay, that's the right spirit.
We'll go with it. We'll take it.
Actually. So, like, yeah, fine with me being bisexual, but she's a little confused, but she's got the spirit.
Oh,
I saw a thing, and I don't know if you sent it to me or you did,
it's
or maybe
possible.
It was in the chat or something. I saw a thing, and it was, like, a parent trying to explain non-binary, like, pronouns to their child. And it was, and their child was like, but how are they, because they're not two people. And their mom was like, okay, well, whenever you're talking to them, imagine there's a mouse in their pocket, and so you're talking to them and the mouse, so you're addressing them as two people.
The child in question, this post,
oh my
was
God.
Like 6 or 7.
Yeah. That's smart.
So it's like,
so
oh.
Like, oh yeah, like imagine you're talking to them and their little mouse, and the kid was like, oh, that makes so much sense. And it's like,
oh,
it's that
like
easy.
Ratatouille.
Yeah.
Ratatouille.
Yeah.
All day dance, Ratatouille, right?
Yeah, literally.
Represented.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But also, like, this is what I try to explain to people when they ask me. I'm like, imagine someone's left something and you don't know who has left it. You would say, yeah, like, do you know where they went? Like, the person that, like, left their bag? Because, yeah, like, and you're talking about one person still, but it's like, you don't know who it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, even if you're of the mindset that it can only be, like, he or she, you would still say they in that circumstance.
Yeah.
Because you don't know whose bag it is. Like,
yeah, yeah.
But even, like, when you're reading, like, academic sources, for instance, for uni, and it's, like, he slash she does, and it's, like, it'd be so much easier and less words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
it's, like, at this point, you're just using up a word count.
Like, well, making up the word count is always a bit difficult, so, like, I get it, but there are easier ways.
Just do he slash she slash they slash other pronoun.
Yeah.
Et cetera. Yeah, literally.
Mm.
Has it always been like that, your dynamic with your parents?
Mine, so I'm the eldest child in my family, so for a really long time, yeah, we're both our eldest children. This one's an only child.
Me too.
Her
too.
I'm an oldest child.
Yeah,
like, my... It was, there was a thing, and I didn't understand that, I still kind of don't, but I was, like, the eldest daughter of the eldest daughter, so there was a lot of stress on that, and, like, for a really long time, literally from when I was, like, 7, I was like, oh, she's just a tomboy. But it was, like, really, like, leading into it, and my mum's like, oh, yeah, but, like, I was a tomboy, so I didn't think anything of it, and I'm like, yeah, there's no signs at all, and then, like, my cousin that's 3 years older than me, she's like, yeah, no, like, once you did talk to me and come out, like, it was so evident, like,
yeah,
because what, like, when you're in the super ridiculously girly dresses that, like, pink frills and the sparkles were never comfortable regardless of your age, like, whenever I was literally forced into one of those kicking and screaming, like, I was so visibly uncomfortable, and but then, like, the second I had, like, a giant jacket on or, like, jeans or shorts or whatever, like, I was visibly more happy. And curly hair, the shortest I could have my hair for a really long time was, like, to my shoulders. The longest it got was literally, like, mid-back. Just,
oh,
like,
gosh.
Thick curls, not fun. It literally took me about half an hour to brush my hair.
Yeah.
But then, like, hair was a big thing as well, because it's like, oh, it's really important because it, like, ties you to your femininity. And I'm like, but what? It's just hair. Why is there such a big stress on this? Yeah. Once I explained that I was not comfortable doing that, and unfortunately, my mental health got quite bad, especially towards the end of year 9-10, it was really, really apparent to my mum and dad that, like, okay, we need to properly sit down and have an in-depth conversation and make changes where we need to make changes, because it got quite bad. And I cut my hair mid-2021, and from then, like, it's just been so much easier mentally, emotionally, socially, sometimes It gets a little bit complicated, especially if I do decide that I want to wear a skirt or something. A lot of more conservative older people like to give their opinions or give particular looks on the street, which is always fun. But I've had a few people that they're like, oh my God, Dad, like, I really like your skirt. Like, I love your shirt, like stuff like that, which is really nice. But then like, yeah, there's always the odd time where it's a bit safer just to go with what people expect when you have shorter hair.
Yeah.
So it's definitely easier for me to force myself to pass as a straight man, which is so funny itself because these two are like, you could not pass for straight if your life depended on it, which is fair in itself. But yeah, sometimes it's a bit safer just to force the masculinity, even if I'm not really feeling like it, which is unfortunate. But hopefully the world will improve.
Aww,
optimistically.
Yeah. Fingers crossed, yeah. I feel like safety is a huge thing. Obviously, like, nowhere near on the scale of you guys, but, like, even just as, like, a girl for me, like, walking in the street, like, sometimes I'll, like, purposely put my head down, won't wear my headphones, like, just because I'm, like, and that's not even, like, a safety from the perspective that you're talking about, but, like, if people are going to judge, they're going to judge anyway. So it's, like, so many people, regardless of who they are, like, experience feeling unsafe on the street. So I hope that... as, like I was saying before, like, as generations move through, I hope that that would get better because there'll be less people that are super conservative.
Yeah.
The one issue that I find with that, it's really unfortunate because we see a lot of young people getting into right-wing extremism, especially young boys, because of influencers like Andrew Tate.
He's in jail right now, right?
I think he just got out.
I think he...
Him and his brother?
Yeah.
They got arrested. Because
he's on parole or something.
Yeah. So, yeah, with influencers like Andrew Tate, he used, like, casual misogyny and then slowly built up to...
Yeah.
Like, overt.
Yeah, exactly. That influences a lot of young boys and even young girls as well and just young people in general.
There are a few YouTubers that, like, they were saying very just misogynistic things on their channels and then they met a few of their fans. I can't remember who these YouTubers were, but I remember seeing a video, like, they met their fans... who are these 13, 14-year-old boys. And, like, they're saying that, like, you know, very, not very nice things about women. And he's like, no, like, we love women, like trying to, like, counter what these literal children are saying. And he's like, oh, my God, what have I done? Like, what have I done with my influence? And, like, it was, like, literally you could see all over his face that he's like, I've ruined these children. And, like, like, I need to fix this. That is a situation that is happening with... several different things, whereas like these influencers or even game YouTubers, for instance, like they'll say things and then they'll just think that there's no consequences when there are young children, especially young boys, that are going to watch this and then go, oh, this is okay because this person is older and saying it and they're not having any repercussions.
Yeah
It's just a very common thing that's happening.
So
I'm making sure that my brother is very aware of things that are happening, because not my brother, frankly.
Yeah.
And I guess as we're talking about, I guess, feeling unsafe in all of these things that are happening, what is something that makes you feel supported and is a safe space or a safe person? That, what does that look like for all of you?
I mean, for me, these two are my safe people. So. Shut up. And honestly, I like the women's lounge and just
the people in the people.
Yeah,
West.
They are just so comforting and so nice and just always so welcoming, no matter what. You can be having a breakdown. They're just like, how can we help you?
Here's a blanket, here's some chocolate, some juice. Like, and that's literally what happened one day with someone. Someone was having just an awful day and we're like, here's a pillow, here's a blanket. Do you want a juice?
We all work together to, like, create a safe space. And a lot of that comes from, like, we all know what it's like to not feel safe. And so being able to provide that safe space for us, because the four clubs that are in there are, like, sort of marginalized communities. We've all had those experiences with being demoralized and othered. Where we can turn around and be like, that's not what we want to experience here. This is our space and this is how we want to feel comfortable. And so it's always so nice and it's so comfortable there. And it's very much like a second home to me. I know, like, multiple times I've, like, almost texted, I'm almost home, to these guys.
You have once.
When I've, like, been walking from my mum's work to the uni.
Yeah.
And
aww.
Yeah, and
like
I was
uni's
like, wait, wait. Yeah. And I was like, wait, no, that's not what I meant. I meant I'm almost at the room. I'm not almost home.
It's like when you actually call your like safe teacher like mom.
Yeah. Yes.
Mom, like, oh
my god. Wait. I've seen it so many times.
Same.
Yeah, a lot of my safe space is definitely within my friends and a couple of my family members, but they're in a different state, so less so at the moment. But definitely my friends are a big safe space for me. Like, my best friend, unfortunately, is in Perth. So we've had constant messages, and, like, she came to visit recently. And she's done a lot for me.
Mm.
And it's really funny in an unfortunate way that we have similar issues in completely different ways. Like, we've both had issues with our mental health and with our perception of our bodies and stuff, but for completely different reasons. Like, she wanted to get, like, really big and strong, and, like, she's hitting the gym. She's got insane muscles now.
Muscle army.
Yeah.
Go queen.
Like, she's doing that. I'm pursuing a completely different situation, but, like, she's done a lot for me.
Mm.
And having these two now is... been a big help as well.
Oh, I love that you see it that way though. Like, even though it's a completely different situation, you still like kind of relate to one another.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
so good.
Very helpful.
What yeah. about you, Gabby?
Like, the thing that Em was talking about before, like in the space, one of the best things is just that immediate shared understanding of like what most people are going through in the space, because a lot of us have similar identities or the same identity, and with that it just comes a lot of shared experiences, which is not something that I'm personally used to. I feel like in the last 2 years with uni, because I've been in my uni sort of era
for lack of a better word. Thank you.
Oh my god.
Okay.
For like the better part of like roughly 4 years, right? And I'm still going. And I guess in the beginning, like straight out of high school, it didn't, or well, for most of high school, but also it, like the stark difference between the community within school that I was used to compared to like the uni lifestyle, which is definitely more like solitary at the beginning, right? You're finding new friends, or just because I was doing a course initially that's different from my one now. I was doing aviation.
Oh, whoa.
Who was she? Anyway.
Okay. Whoa.
For someone like, scared of heights, though, that's really funny.
I'm not scared of heights, okay?
Yeah. I'm not scared of heights. I'm just scared of being really high up.
No, no.
Information,
guys. But yeah, I don't know. It's something that I wanted to pursue aside from like the social, like sort of aspect kind of sidetrack. It's like not really what I wanted to do if I thought about it, because it was not too long that I was thinking about it before I decided to pursue that out of high school. I feel like that was quite rushed. Anyway. But when that was at UniSA, and then recently in the last 2 years when I transferred courses to media, just happened to be at Adelaide Uni, it was only like maybe a year and a half into that new course that I met like these guys and a few more people that were more openly queer, right? And like it being more of like under the ABLE faculty and more like humanities centered, I found myself surrounded by more like-minded people, and it sort of, it was definitely new to be in that sort of environment, but it's definitely something that I have been looking for and something that I needed to feel more like safe and happy to be myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
definitely.
So like at uni, and then I'd say that at home, my siblings are my safe space.
Oh.
Just, okay, not to be sappy or anything, but like...
I'm gonna tell them about this.
Yeah, I don't know. They're much younger than me because I'm also the eldest. I'm also very immature because of them.
All their
but
fault.
Yeah, I blame them. Yeah. I take no responsibility for any of my actions ever.
Yeah, period.
Thank you, oh my god. But yeah, there's just like...
Whoa.
Thanks, girly pubs.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just like this common understanding that we have, I guess, that with most things, I'd say, not just with like identity and stuff. Unfortunately, we're just on a different level of understanding with these sort of things, like being queer and trans, compared to my parents. So we're very much a united front. We have to like stick together because they're still in high school. They've got a lot of stuff to figure out outside of this, right?
And with your parents as well, the dynamic like similar to E's and M's?
It's complicated, I'd say. I don't know.
Different situation.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that statement.
Whoa!
No, just like in, it's just different, you know? It's like no shade or anything like that. Right.
Wait, but are your parents Asian?
Yeah, they are.
Same.
And that's all you need to know.
Same. Yeah.
Just because, like, in high school, all my friends were Asian, or like we were in a big friend group, and we all just happened to be Asian, and
I
have a lot of thoughts on that as well. Just like
very
monoracial, like friendship groups, especially in high school, like when you're growing up. Like in your youth and stuff like that, it's really hard to tell if you're actually friends or if you've just kind of fallen into that, like, I recognize one of the parts of me in you, right? Rather than like interests or things that would hold friendships closer together. And I definitely relate to that, right? I probably would have been, I hesitate to say better off, because I don't regret the friendship group that I had in high school, because they were all quite nice people, right?
Quite.
Yeah. Like, I didn't really have any problems with any of them. I just feel like I wasn't as close to them as I thought and stuff like that. In having other friendships, or comparing them to the other friendships that I had in high school or now with these idiots. I'm kidding.
Do I beep that out? No, right?
No.
It's like, oh, wait, can I be worse than idiots?
You can't. That would be
that better.
No, I'm just like, it was getting too serious. Like, guys, come on.
Emotions.
So it's definitely different. Idiots. In comparison. So because most of my friendship group was Asian, it was like all of most of our parents, like what we've discussed and like what we sort of shared with each other about like our experiences with our parents were very similar, quite strict. There were obviously like different levels for each person. Like some would be like more stereotypically strict Asian parents in terms of like homework standards, grades, stuff like that. Some were a bit more chill. You definitely see a lot of reoccurring patterns, like a bit more conservative, especially like with my family. I can speak to like the more conservative Christian values. It's interesting in that like I came out to my parents in like 2023.
Oh, that's recent.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the right year. It was like at the very top of 2023. So it feels like 2022 sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
It was kind of.
So it's been like a good 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It was quite an impulsive decision. And then suddenly it was just happening. And stuff like that. And like they took it fine. I was very worried because just based off
the vibe.
Yeah. Like what I've noticed. And I was very like cautious to what I wanted to say and like when I was going to say it. I feel like a lot of good, or maybe not good, but like observant parents kind of have an idea of what their kids are like and stuff like that. So my parents were like, yeah, we've been you. And I'm like, okay, well, thanks for taking my moment away from me. Like, come on, guys. But yeah, they have said that they're supportive, but support and love are like action words, right? So I'm kind of waiting for more action rather than just the stuff that they're saying. But aside from that, like, it's kind of like that thing where we don't really talk about it. Like, it's not really mentioned, right? Because No, it's like a big source of like tension and stuff, because they have their opinions and they know our opinions, and they're just very different at the moment. But we still, yeah, have an understanding that we're a family and we love each other and we care about each other. It's just unfortunately this big aspect of my life and something that's very important to me and like my identity. They just don't have a good understanding of it yet. So I'm quite optimistic, but just for the moment, yeah, it's just something that we don't really talk about. And I feel like that's to most of our benefits at the moment.
That is really optimistic though.
Yeah.
But that can be rough. So I'm sorry to hear that.
It's okay.
But with Asian parents, it is. Oh, yes. Yep. Every time something goes wrong, like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
No, but with Asian parents, you really just can't talk about it. Like, when you get into it, it just gets so awkward or it gets heated.
Yeah.
I feel like I've advocated, like, quite a few times. There's a lot that I brought to the table that my family was just like, oh, no, thank you. No, thank you. We were taught this. Yeah. And it gets so heated. And, like, over time, I would bring it up over and again and again and still learning. Like, I was going out with a friend, and he was, like, a cis male. And my mom thought it was another friend. And she goes, how's George? Does he have a boyfriend yet? I'm like, so, wrong guy. He's into, like, females. That's Brian. And she's like, okay. So, we're getting somewhere, you know?
But
it's rough. It was a very long conversation that's been ongoing for, like, 5 years now.
Sometimes it takes a lot of time to get through to people, especially, like, when they're not really understanding of the situation.
I guess that would be a good way to lead into how can people be better allies, how can people support their queer friends.
Oh no, what did you just remember?
When I how do I start
oh,
this
god.
Basically went on a date and went ice skating. Got home to my great auntie, but we don't say great auntie because she's doesn't like that. She's like, it makes me sound old. But anyway, got back and she had bought every single flavor of Golden Gay Times. I didn't know that there were 4 or 5 different flavors.
Nor did I.
Me neither.
There was, like, the original one, there was a chocolate, there was caramel, there was the unicorn one. And just like,
oh, the unicorn one's kind
that,
of...
That was just so kind of funny to me. Because I'm like, she's trying and, like, she's very supportive. And I wasn't sure how it would go because she was raised quite Catholic and she still is quite Catholic. And then, like, my folks didn't really raise me with any set religion. So I was quite cautious, especially in the beginning. And then I started pursuing more medical means of transitioning, and she was fine with that, which was a relief. But yeah, just stocking a bunch of Golden Gay Times after was so, so very funny to me.
Yeah, and I don't even get, like...
I texted my mom, and I'm like, you're not going to believe what she did. She's like, oh no. I'm like, no, it's pretty funny. I'm like, look, there's like every flavor.
I just imagine her going to the shop and she's like, Golden Gay Time. Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
I'm getting all of it.
She was like,
she's probably so proud at the checkout. Like, guys, look what I'm buying. I've got every one of them.
Oh my gosh. She probably told them about
you. I'm an ally.
Oh my gosh.
Like, for me, it is... Most, like, I use humor with every aspect of my life, honestly. But even, like, my mum making jokes and my auntie getting a bunch of Golden Gay Times. Like, it's really nice because it feels like it's not something weird. Like, it feels like it's just very normalized, which is both better and worse because, like, sometimes, like, I legitimately forget that, like, homophobia and transphobia exists. Which in itself is kind of funny, but yeah, just like little jokes like that, I think are really nice. Like my best friend, she makes several jokes. All of them are hilarious, even if they are in what is perhaps a little bit of poor taste. It's very clearly just a joke, and it's like...
I don't know if I told you.
Oh.
No, just on the making jokes thing.
Ah, okay.
My mom walked in yesterday and she's like, I love the fact that you're gender fluid. And I was like, oh,
what?
Oh,
why?
What did I do? And she held up a pair of my underwear, which were boxers. And she goes, look how nice they fold.
Their parents. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. I'm like, yeah, thanks, mom. And she's like, I love it. I love it. I love it.
It's great.
Just has bonds along the front. I love it. It's so good.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
All
right. Thanks, mom.
Your parents are so efficient and law-abiding citizens. I respect that.
Yeah.
they're very...
They're finding the perks in everything.
Yeah, literally.
They are so chill.
They're so funny.
They're really funny. It's always fun, like, having conversations with them, because, yeah.
I was going to say, so far the pros and cons we've found is that your dad just wants them to pay tax, and your mum's just happy that the underwear folds nicely.
That is literally the conversation I had last night. I'm like, oh, so as long as my underwear folds nicely and I pay taxes, we're all good. And they're like, yeah.
Oh my gosh, love that.
Cool.
You're like, don't you worry, I will pay my tax.
Don't worry, I unfortunately still pay my taxes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All that to say, just like not making being queer or trans like a big thing. Mm. Like,
it doesn't have to be a big thing.
And people like put a lot of emphasis on like, oh, my gay friend, and it's like, where is this going?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like normalizing friendships and relationships and letting people exist how they want to exist. I think.
Well, it's like at the end of the day, we're all people.
Yeah.
And it's not like, obviously we're sitting on this side of the table hosting and you guys are on that side of the table, but it's not like, oh, we're different to you. It's like, okay, we're all people. Yeah. And it's like, we've spent the whole episode laughing. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's not like, oh, I had a really good conversation with all these queer people today. It's like, I'll just go home and be like, it's so like, we're all just people at the end of the day. And it's like, and that's, I don't know if you guys would agree with this, but I've spoken to other people and they're like, I don't understand why I have to come out. It's like, I just am who I am.
Yeah. Mm. And I've literally said that to my parents. I'm like, I don't feel the need to come out because, well, at first glance, a lot of things are obvious. But even, and it's like, if people ask a question, I'm more than happy to answer it. Like, people want to know what my pronouns are, what terms I use to describe myself, I'm happy to say that.
Yeah.
Mm.
But it doesn't have to be like this huge thing.
Yeah.
Like if you want it to be, it absolutely can.
Yeah.
But either way, the world isn't going to explode if you get a word wrong or if like, if you say the wrong word, like it's okay. You like, y'all don't need to stress so much.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that I never officially came out to a lot of people. And so I was like doing volunteering at one point and I was wearing a binder. And I was like, I have worn this for too many hours. Cause we like for this volunteering job, we would literally get up at like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning and then finish the day at about 2, 3 at night.
Oh, 2, 3 AM.
Like AM. Yeah.
And then you would sleep for 2 hours and do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Disgusting.
I thought you were saying 2 p.m. I was like, that's gross enough.
No. Like, because we had a lot of work to do. And I was like, I have worn this for too long. And my friend, who I still talk to and stuff, he was like, so why do you wear a binder if that's okay with me asking? I'm like, oh, I'm gender fluid. So like, and he goes, oh, well, that makes sense. Anyway, and I was like,
next moment.
I've known this guy for like so long and I just had never officially come out to anyone. I'd just been like, these are my pronouns now. Anyway.
Yeah.
And just moved on with it.
Oh, I love that.
These are my pronouns. Can you pass the sauce?
Yeah.
Like,
well, sometimes it can be that chill.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was always like that chill at my like old volunteering job. That was one of the good things about like them, because they were always very chill with like gender and like sexual diversity and stuff like that. They actually had a gender and sexual diversity committee. So
slay.
Love that.
Round of applause for them.
Yeah. I was on that committee at one point. It was great.
Moving on.
Yeah, it was, yeah, that was one of the really good things about that volunteering work.
It was very chill.
Yeah, very, very chill. Oh yeah, these are my pronouns. Anyway, what are we having for dinner?
Yeah, literally. I remember my friend came out and we were going to town, so we were like walking down. You know, before you go to like Hindley, there's like a rainbow.
Yes.
Outside.
Oh,
too.
Yes.
The three of us were walking, and then she goes like, oh, guys, by the way, I'm gay. And we're like, okay. Okay.
Yes, we've been getting food. Like,
okay. Yeah. Like, I'm hungry.
Can we keep walking?
Like,
can you hurry up?
I was like, did you wait for us to walk in this
rainbow?
Yeah. I was like, cute. That's but funny. Okay, and
it's like, oh well, I remember.
Yeah.
Well, I remember.
It's like, oh, that reminds me, guys, I'm gay.
Yeah.
I forgot to tell you. We used to walk that like rainbow like road whenever I was doing that volunteering job, because it was from like our like motel room where we were working.
Okay.
And so yeah, we used to, there was a lot of interesting stores along that place, but
The road was lovely.
Okay.
The rainbow road was yes. absolutely lovely.
Oh, by the way, we like linked arms after that and like went from the beginning and took a stroll and like celebration. Why not? Lovely. Blast the chaperone. We're like, yeah, period. Okay, let's go.
Perfect.
Iconic. I feel like you guys covered a lot of the things that I wanted to say. Thank you.
No. Say it again.
I'm sorry.
I'll cut their part out. You just repeat what they said.
Yeah.
Thank you. Just going back to stuff that we've said before, like just not assuming things or anything. Coming at questions like respectfully. If a person doesn't want to answer your question, don't take it personally. It's just that it's up to that person to decide what they share with you or not. Asking pronouns or like starting like a chain of people, letting other people know their pronouns. It helps. Generally, just having pronouns where professional settings or like a Zoom call or like a uni meeting or anything like that. It makes people that have alternate pronouns more comfortable in sharing theirs.
I always think it's so funny when I'm in a like meeting for work and someone will say like, oh, I'm so-and-so, my pronouns are she, her. And then every other person that's already shared instantly wants to be like, I'm so sorry, mine are this, mine are that. Like, yeah. And they're like, we I'm so that. Sorry, I didn't mean to. Like,
That goes so far for some people. Yeah,
I think, having things like going, oh, like if you do like introductions, turning around and being like, what's your name and pronouns and, you know, a fun fact or something, is always just so affirming. Because even the people who don't have alternate pronouns or, like, a cisgender will obviously participate in that as well because, you know, it's an option for everyone to participate and to be misgendered. Yeah.
In, like, year 12, for instance, which is time in itself because there were a lot of things being figured out.
It's a while ago.
Yeah. 2022, my teacher, I actually approached her after one class because it was, like, my core teacher, homeroom teacher, whatever you want to call it. And I kind of just had a conversation with her and just said, like, this is, like, what's going on? And then the next class, because it was kind of just like, here's your timetables, go to class. The next class we had with her, she's like, okay, so we're going to go around the room and just, like, I want to know your name, your pronouns, and a fun fact or, like, something you like doing. And so I was like, blah, 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 I like skateboarding, going around. And just having that, having it go from terrifying to just say anything to have it just really casual is a lot easier in school settings, in work settings. Just having it not be as terrifying and having it more normalized would be nicer.
Mm.
Yeah.
We've loved having you on the episode today.
I think I learned quite a bit today.
Yeah, so did I. I'm like, I feel like half the time I was zoning out because I was trying to think back and like make sure I was remembering everything that you said to me. I was like, I need to not forget this.
Yeah.
No, thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate you guys reaching out.
We literally spent the whole episode laughing, so I've had so much fun having you guys here today.
Feel free to drop by the women's room and we can
just
have random chats.
We have so many opinions. You want our opinions?
We have
Let's just start a YouTube channel, actually.
Okay, bro.
That's going to be like a 10-hour video.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. That is unfortunately all we have time for. Just by thinking about how long the recording goes for, I think this is going to be a long episode as it is. So.
But that was really amazing, and I hope you guys learned as much as we did for this episode.
If you head over to the Wellbeing Instagram account, which is U of A Student Wellbeing, in the link in bio, you'll be able to see so many Pride resources that the uni has available. But even just a quick Google search, like E said throughout the episode, can help answer any of your questions and help you stay as informed as we can all be.
See you next fortnight!
'Take note.'
This is a UOA on campus production.